is showing favor again. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he has shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. Now, the servants he didn't slay, the enemies he did. That's not my lesson. I just wanted to explain the parable, okay? God does favor. Listen, in all thy ways acknowledge him and he'll direct thy paths.
Right.
But you get out of the will of God, he will not direct thy paths. So you stop this favor stuff. All that is a license to sin. You're making an excuse to say, I don't have to live as good as they live because God's going to love me and treat me the same way he's going to treat them. Well, we just read he doesn't do that. He gives talents or abilities or gifts to everybody that he saves. Now, what you do with those depends on how much God shows you favor. Now, that's not salvation. I told that man, he threw all these, he said, you quote an Old Testament. I gave him some Old Testament, Peter, it was David and people like that, you know. He said, you're quoting Old Testament. That's not in the New Testament. So I sent him a bunch of New Testament verses. But look, God does not reward laziness or wickedness or unfaithfulness. He rewards the opposite of that. So if you want to call that favor, call it favor. Whatever you want to call it. But you can't throw all Christians in one big old basket and say everything's all right that everybody does. Because it's not. That's not my sermon. Luke 19:13, it says this. In verse 13, he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. Here was the master of the vineyard, the master of the house, the master of the land, the master of the money. And he wanted these men to watch over his money and invest his money and occupy what he owned until he came back. The Lord Jesus Christ left here over 2,000 years ago and he said, occupy till I come. And he gave us talents and abilities and blessings and salvation and eternal life. And he gave us all these things to take care of. They're not ours. After you get saved, you don't own anything. You become a bond slave to Jesus Christ. You sell yourself out to him. If you didn't, you're not saved. He doesn't take half a person. He takes it all or nothing. Can't give him this and hold back a little bit there. No, sir. Now, he said, occupy that. Now, when he came back, he had 2 good ones and he had 1 unfaithful servant. Who did not occupy, take care of the property that God or the master of the house had given him. So I looked up that word in the English language because I have an English Bible. I don't need a Greek Bible. I don't need a Latin Bible. I don't need a Hebrew Bible. I don't need a Spanish Bible or Japanese Bible. I was born and raised in South Carolina. My English may not exactly match yours, but I know English. I know adverbs. I know pronouns. I know it all. I can diagram a sentence. That's the first thing they taught us in Bible college. I had to go back to an English class. I said, why am I taking an English class? I'm a grown man. I've already done that in school. They said, because you're teaching an English Bible. You need to know English better than anybody in your church. So, I look up words sometimes. I'm not smart as those people that don't look up words. That think they already know everything, Brother Jeffrey. That word occupy, the Webster's Dictionary. I liked old Webster. He was a believer.
Amen.
And Webster said, to take possession of. Occupy. To take possession of. You remember Occupy Wall Street? Another one of those catastrophes brought on by the Democrat Party. And they flooded Wall Street and they occupied the streets and the sidewalks and some of the buildings. They took possession of. The Allied armies went into Europe and occupied Germany. That's how we won the war. And so it means to take possession of. Jesus placed his business, his great work, Jesus placed it into the hands of his servants. He said, now you take possession of it. When you were born again, you got saved by the grace of God. You became a member of the family of God. Jesus, our Lord and our Master, left to go into heaven to sit on the right hand of the Father to intercede for us until He comes back, and we are to occupy until He comes. About time Christians started occupying some things. Amen. We're so timid and back up and back down and scared and scared that somebody's going to call us prejudice or bigot or homophobe or fanatic. I don't care anymore. Jesus sent me to occupy where I'm at and what I'm doing. This belongs to Him. My house belongs to Him. My bank account belongs to Him. My automobiles belong to Him. My health belongs to Him. My wealth belongs to Him. My family belongs to Him. My church belongs to Him. My gifts and callings belong to Him. Everything I am, everything I've got, everything I ever will be belongs to Him. He's just let me occupy it until He gets back. Now we'll do some occupying. Amen. What are we going to do while they're burning down buildings? We're going to occupy our space. What are we going to do while they're up there pelting the White House with bricks and firebombs? We're going to occupy what He gave us. Now, this master didn't say, I'm going to give you the whole town. He didn't say, I'm going to give you the whole country. He said, I'm going to give you these things, and what I give you, you take care of them, because when I get back, you're going to give account for what you did with what I gave you. So they occupied what they had. Two did pretty well. One did sorely because he didn't see it as serious as the other two did. So what are we supposed to occupy? Matthew 25:2. That's a long introduction, wasn't it? Matthew 25:2. It wasn't so long when you wasn't here and I was staring at that stupid camera. Matthew 25:2. I'll wait on you. This is Wednesday night Bible study. By the way, I'm going to start next week on people in the Bible. I'm going to start a series on people in the Bible. And we're going to start in Genesis. We're going all the way through the Bible with people in the Bible. The who, what, when, and where, and all that, you know. Matthew 25:2 says this, and five of them were wise and five were foolish. Who's he talking about? Verse 1, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins who took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. See, while he's gone. And at midnight, there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. I don't know, some of you young people may not know what trimming, that's turning that little thing on the side to get the wick to go down or either up, okay? And then they trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went, boy, that don't sound like today's Christianity. Oh, you ought to give everybody everything, you know. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with them to the marriage, and the door was shut. And afterward came also other virgins saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, For ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country and called his servants and delivered unto them his goods. And that's the story I just told you a while ago. So what am I supposed to do, preacher? Well, we are supposed to occupy what he's given us, where we live, everything we have. We're supposed to occupy by being faithful to our calling. He left and he came back and he called all of them, but only half of them came. You know why? The other half wasn't ready.
That's right.
That's right. They wasn't ready. And there's a lot of people think they're Christian. They belong to churches. But when the bridegroom comes, he's going to shout. And they're not going to be able to go because that oil represents the Holy Spirit. And they don't possess the Holy Spirit because they've never been saved. And they look good. And they sound real religious. And they wear a white collar and a black suit and a big old cross. And they call them bishop or apostle or something else. But I got news for you. They're not going to get to go. We are occupying the space that he gave us, the calling he gave you, the calling he gave me, and we're supposed to faithfully. They played around. They wasn't faithful. A lot of Christians playing around. There's a bunch of them marching in these marches. Where'd you ever read that in the Bible? I'm not carrying a stinking sign. I'm not protesting anything. I'm not even a Protestant. I'm a Baptist. I believe this before the Protestants ever, I mean, not I, but the people that before me believed this before there ever was a Protestant, right, before there was a Catholic church.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something. I'm not playing around with what I got. I'm going to be faithful with what he gave me because he's coming back pretty soon and the trumpet's going to sound and the dead in Christ arise first. And then we, those who are born again,
yes,
we who remain, we shall be caught up together with them in the air. Now, I don't want to be caught as these five virgins were, unawares.
Amen.
I want to be ready.
Yes.
He said, be ready. Occupy till I come. He had two good servants that kept looking for him to come back. They kept investing his money, but one of them wasn't expecting him to come back and didn't do anything with the money. Didn't even put it in the bank at all. Wrapped it up in a napkin, lazy, sorry, low down servant. And when the Lord came back, he said, where's my money? Oh, I was scared. They say, you an austere man. And I was scared. And I was scared to put it in the bank. And here it is. I still got it. And he said, thou unfaithful servant. He called the other two faithful. Amen.
Yes.
Look, I'm going to occupy till he comes.
Yes.
If you want to go carry a sign, that's your business. You answer to him for that. You ain't got to answer to me. Amen. But I got news for you. One day he's coming, and I want to be ready.
Amen.
And I want to be investing my time in the faithfully in the calling that he gave me. Now, number one, he called me to be saved. I'm saved. Number two, he called me to live like I'm saved. Number two, he called me to behave like I'm saved, look like I'm saved, and to be a witness to people that are not saved. And that's our number one calling right there, and all of us have that calling. Well, I'm a Christian. Will you ever witness anybody? No. Well, I don't know if you're a Christian or not. How can you get saved and not be excited enough to share it with somebody? Amen. 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 That's good preaching, preacher. Go ahead. Well, I'm timid. I tell you what, he said, open your mouth. I'll feel it.
Right.
You start talking, he'll talk through you.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, you'll remember scriptures you didn't even know you knew. I've done that many times. Amen. You don't even, you say, well, I don't know enough scripture. Did you get saved? Yeah. Do you remember you got saved? Yeah. Well, tell them the way you got saved.
Right.
And scriptures will start coming. I'll guarantee you it'll start coming because he's coming back. Now, we are supposed to be Christians, and we are supposed to produce fruit. Now, you go to Galatians chapter 5, where it talks about the fruits of the Holy Spirit. That's not your fruit. That's God's fruit coming through you. That's not your fruit. You have nothing to do with that. That's all Him. Your fruit is to produce other Christians. I'm going to ask you some questions. Y'all ready? I'm giving you a test. If you plant an apple tree, what is the fruit?
Apple.
If you plant an orange tree, what is the fruit?
Orange.
If you plant a fig tree, ooh. If you plant a fig tree, what is the fruit? rotten, because you ain't going to eat it. You ain't going to eat it. Alright, so if Christians are planted, what should they produce? Christians. That's right. We need to be faithful to our calling. Number two, here's how we occupy. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Y'all think it's hot down there. You ought to be up here. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. He said, and all of you already know this, he's about to go up to heaven. He said, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now, wait a minute. Contrary to what the Pentecostals said, he was already in them. He'd already breathed on them and said, receive you the Holy Ghost. Now he's saying when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, what happens when the Holy Ghost comes? Well, when he came into you, you got born again, you got regenerated. When he comes on you, you're filled with power and presence of a holy God. On you. Okay? And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and into the uttermost parts of earth. Now, listen to me. I'm going to be occupied. We ought to occupy not only by being faithful, but by giving and sending the gospel. Now, I can't go in all the world. I can't. You can't either. But there's a lot of gospel printing ministries and stuff, like one sometimes we send Blessed Hope up in York, but it's at the other church, but it's still Blessed Hope Tract Ministry. But we'll send them money because they make tracts and send them to missionaries all over the world for free. Billions by now they've sent out. And we send them money. Now, I can't take those gospel tracts to Guyana, but my money can help it get there. That's right. And by doing that, I'm preaching the gospel all over the world. I like that thing. There's some young men in Africa and nations all over Africa and the Middle East who are now following me on Facebook because I've been doing this. Now, I can't go over there and preach, but I can inspire that young man to go preach.
Amen.
And every once in a while, I can send him a few dollars to help him buy a bicycle or some Bibles. I can find out what his language is, and I can go to Blessed Hope Tract Ministry up there in York, and they'll print me some Bibles in his language, and we can pay for the shipping over there for him to get the Bibles. You see, while I'm occupying, I'm not just occupying my house or the church house or just this area. I can get the gospel out to every creature all over this world by helping others who are already there.
Yes.
Now, I ought to do it around my area or to occupy my area, York County. And I've already decided, starting Friday, I'm back on two neighborhoods over here, door to door, I'm back at it. But I ought to do that. But I can't do that all over the world. But there are ways that God's made it possible that I can do that.
Yes.
Through this, through gospel literature, through sending Bibles, through supporting missionaries, we can do that. That's how we occupy the whole world.
Yes, sir.
We can occupy by prayer ministry. You see, most people, listen to this, most people look at prayer as a chore. It's the truth. If they pray at all, it's only when they need something. Don't get quiet on me now. Prayer is a ministry. D.L. Moody, the great D.L. Moody, and I'm sorry some of y'all don't know these things. You ought to go put, when I first got saved, I heard these names in sermons, so I went to the public library, York County Public Library. And I'd heard the name D.L. Moody, C.H. Spurgeon, R.E. Torrey, Sam Jones, Bob Jones, John R. Rice. All these names of great, great missionaries and great preachers. And so I went to the public library, Billy Sunday. And I looked up every name, and every one of them's there. I had a stack of biographies that high, and I read every biography on every great man of God that I could find. I did. Now, and I studied a lot of things about prayer. And one of the greatest examples was this. D.L. Moody was a young man. He was in Chicago. He got saved as a teenager working as a shoe salesman for his uncle. He was already going to one of those dead churches where you had to rent your pews. You know, back then your family had to rent a pew. It had a gate on each end. Only your family could sit there. And so, he didn't have family, so he went down there and took his money and rented a pew. It said about 12 or 15 people. Don't y'all wish we'd start renting out pews? And so, he got excited about being saved. Now he was a poor boy. His parents sent him to live with his uncle because they couldn't afford to feed him. And he lived in Chicago. And after he went for a while, well, the way he got saved was his Sunday school teacher in that church came by where he worked and led him to Christ. Then after that, he got so excited about being saved, he rented a pew all his own, and he started going out in the streets of Chicago in the slums and getting children and bringing them to church and sitting in his pew. Well, needless to say, the uptown church didn't like that. They got mad at him, said he was dirtying up their church, bringing that white trash in there. So he said, well, I'm going to take him to church somewhere. So then he went and rented a boxcar in Chicago. He rented a boxcar. And he got him a wagon, a horse and a wagon. He'd run around, pick up those little kids and put them in that wagon. And he'd give them a little piece of candy, you know, and they'd come to his boxcar and he'd have Sunday school in the boxcar. Well, this rich man found out about it. So the rich man went and watched and he said, well, we need to get y'all out of that boxcar. He said, I'm going to rent this theater downtown on Sunday. I'm not talking, they didn't have movies. It was an actual theater where they had plays. So this rich man rented the theater for D.L. Moody to teach these wild youngins, and then he started finding some. He got him away and he started finding some. And while Moody's up there preaching, those kids are down there fighting and jumping seats, you know, and running around. But he just preached right on and a bunch of them started getting saved. And then he'd pray for power. He'd say, Lord, give me the word to say. I'm uneducated and all this stuff. You can't even read his notes that he wrote. And so time went on, and him and this guy, and they got that theater full. And so then other people started hearing about him. So they come to sit in the balcony, the rich white people. They come sit in the balcony while he preached to all those kids. So they started getting saved. And then it grew, and it evolved into a ministry. People started calling Dale Moody to preach all over the country, you know, and he'd go preach, and 10 or 12 people get saved. He was so excited about seeing people get saved, and he thought he was doing a good job, but it got to where every time he looked up, there was two little old ladies sitting on the front. Everywhere he preached, they followed him, and they preached on the front. And later on, he found out there's old-fashioned Methodist ladies. Old camp meeting Methodist type ladies, you know. Holiness people. And said they'd sit there and they'd follow him whenever they could get to where he was, you know, preaching. And said one day he was preaching in New York and they came up to him on the streets of New York on Broad Street, I think it was. Broadway. And he was preaching a big meeting in New York. Thousands of people was coming to hear him. And these two old ladies called him on the street and grabbed him, said, Mr. Moody, he never got ordained, he never got licensed to preach, said, Mr. Moody, we're praying for you, we're praying for you. And said every time he'd see him, that's what they would say. But this time he said, ladies, I know you're praying for me, but you don't have to worry about it. People's getting saved under my preaching. Don't worry about it. You don't have to pray no more. People's getting saved. And that woman said, no, you don't understand. We're praying that God will fill you with his Holy Ghost. He didn't know what that meant. And he got walking on up the street and he said, God come down on him. He started crying and said he got physically unable to walk, and he ran to a friend's house and he said, can I have a room? I've got to pray. And said he went up in that room and he got to praying and said the power and the presence of God came down so much in that room that he didn't feel like he could even breathe anymore. He couldn't breathe, and God was on him. He was weeping and crying out to God. And then finally he said, God, if you don't take your hand off of me, I'm going to die. And said God led up on him, and he went to preach that night, and it went from 10 or 15 getting saved to hundreds getting saved. And then everywhere he'd go, those old ladies there said, we're praying God to fill you with his Holy Ghost. He'd say, keep on praying, keep on praying. And thousands started getting saved. And I'm saying that for this. Those ladies had a prayer ministry. Amen. They didn't preach. I doubt they had much money. But they could pray. Yeah. Now, y'all listen to me. You don't have to preach or teach Sunday school. You may not be brave enough to stand somewhere and hand out a gospel tract, but you can get alone in your bedroom or the closet somewhere and start crying out to God and praying and begging God to save people and begging God to heal people and begging God to bless your church and begging God to revive our land. And I'm telling you, that's a ministry. You can occupy till he comes back. You don't have to sit back and say, I'm too old, or I'm just a woman, or I'm just a nobody. No, you can pray, and God opens heaven when people pray. Hey, look, the first century church prayed and jail bars fell open. Kings were removed from the throne when they prayed. Amen. They prayed and received miracles. The dead were raised. The sick were healed. Churches were built. Souls were saved. It's a ministry. We're to occupy in a prayer ministry and pray and beg and pray and beg and seek the power and the presence of a holy God on our place we're occupying. What would it be like if one person really got prayed up this Sunday and came to church prayed up? You know, most people don't hardly pray before they come to church. Then they come to church, they'll say, well, go ahead, bless me, preacher, if you can. I can't. What would it be like if we really prayed before we came to church? And usually on Saturday nights, I try to get over here and turn on the outside lights, turn on the air conditioning, and I walk up and down these rows, and I pray, and I call out people's names, and I weep, and I cry. What would it be like if a bunch of people did that? Yeah. Occupy till I come, he said. Well, I don't have much talents. I just got this one. Invest it.
Yeah.
Pray.
Yes.
We can occupy till he comes by gathering for worship and praise.
Amen.
He inhabits the praise of his people. He said, forsake not the assembling ourselves together. Yes. And he said, even so much more so.
Right.
As you see that day approaching, how much closer can it be?
Right.
We need to, look, somebody, well, I'm scared of this virus. Well, you went to Walmart. You went to the drugstore.
Yes.
10,000 people out there holding hands singing Come By Yah and We Will Overcome and all this stuff. And ain't none of them worried about it. And Christians are afraid. Let me tell you something. We need to get back in the church house.
Yes.
And look, if some people would just break loose and worship God for a change instead of waiting for somebody else to do it. Occupy. People come in this church, they sit in the same pew every Sunday. Every time they come, they sit in the same pew. They never lift a hand. They never sing. While we pray, they thinking about the football game or Sunday dinner. They don't pray. They don't give. They don't go. They don't invite people. They don't have a prayer closet. What would it be like if we really occupied till he came by gathering together to praise and worship his holy name? See, church is all turned around. The Me Too movement. That's what church is now. Me Too. Bless me. Give to me. Recognize me. Let me sing. Let me hold office. Let me run something. Let me be the boss. Recognize. Oh, shut up. Why don't you get that out of your mind and get back to him movement? Amen. What about him? Everything's supposed to be about him. And that's the way we're supposed to occupy. Look, it's not time to hide out. It's time to speak out. It's time to shout out. This world's in a mess, and our country is going down the tubes unless God's people do something. And by the way, we're more powerful in our prayer together than we are separate.
That's right.
2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, and I am going to be through. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You ain't mad at me, are you?
No.
Good. Because I got one more to go. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2 says this, But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Preach, what are we going to do? We're going to occupy by being faithful to our calling. We're going to occupy by giving and sending the gospel. We're going to occupy by praying and prayer ministry. We're going to occupy for gathering together for praise and worship. We're going to occupy by our faithful stewardship. I heard it. Did you hear it? Somebody thought money. As soon as I said stewardship, you thought money. There's more to stewardship than money.
Right.
Matter of fact, money's the last on the list.
Right.
I got thinking about that. Stewardship means this. He gave those men coins. He said, now you take care of this till I get back. Some invested the coins. They did something good with what he gave them. Another one held on to it and hid it. Now God has given us gifts of time, talent, and yes, treasure. He's done that. And look, God, listen now, God's business is the biggest business in town. There's no little church, no little preachers, no little churches, no little Christians. God's business is important business. It's the most important business in town. And God gave us time to tend to his business while we're here till he gets back. And we'll invest that time wisely in our area where he's put us. And then he's gave us talents. Everybody that he saves, he gives talents. It may be singing, it may be music, it may be preaching, it may be witnessing, it may be teaching, it may be prayer. It may mean some kind of charity things, you know, but God's given every one of us talents. He's given every one of us so much time to invest and occupy until he gets back. We're not supposed to be doing nothing. Here's what I hate. Pastor, that's your job. I can't stand to hear that. Don't ever say that to me. You'll make me mad. Well, that's your job. That's why we hired you. That's why we pay you. No, I was doing it before you paid me. If you run me off, I'd do it still without you paying me. You don't know much about real Baptist preachers. Most of us work most of their ministry a public job to support ourselves so we can help other people in the ministry. But that's not what it's about. Well, pastor, we pay you to do that. My first pastor, they were having a business meeting. And listen to this, one of the deacons got up and was talking about getting rid of the softball team. And we should have. They're stopping at Pizza Hut and drinking beer and cussing and giving each other the finger out there on the baseball. You ain't ever been to a church league softball game, have you? You've been to one. It's a joke. It's hilarious. They claim to be Christians. They cuss and they fuss, give obscene signals. And so we're going to vote to stop it. And they compromise, just vote not to finance it. They still wear jerseys. And they didn't have to come to church, but once a week, once a month, what kind of Christian you think you got? And that deacon, well, he's up there explaining it in his educated, well-mannered, wonderful, talented, you know. And Preacher Faulkner is sitting over there, and he jumps up and he's trying to say something. And that deacon looked at him and he said, "Preacher, you can sit down and be quiet. We pay you to preach 3 times a week, bury our dead, and marry our children." I was so embarrassed for my pastor. If he'd have got up and slapped that man, I wouldn't have been embarrassed. But he didn't. He sat down and shut up. Now let me tell you something. God gave us so much time and so much talent, and we better be busy about the Father's business and not let stupid little things get in the way like baseball, football, and all this stuff, but be busy about the Father's business. He's given us the time. That's why we're here. That's why you're not dead. He's given you the talent. You got a mouth. He said, "Open your mouth. I'll fill it. Just speak. He'll do the talking." And then he's given us the treasure. I didn't see anybody walk to church tonight. I don't see anybody naked tonight. Naked. New York, that's naked. Is it naked in New York? Well, it is on your side of town. You know? Hey, we're not going to talk about that, okay? And, well, you laughed about you from Detroit. I bet you've seen a lot of that. But let me tell you something. He's given us good places to live. We got food in our belly. We got clothes on our back. He supplies all our needs from His riches and glory. If there's something you need and you ain't got it, you let us know. He'll supply your need through us. We need to occupy by being a faithful steward of what He has given us, not just money. I'm not the smartest person in this church. There's people in this church smarter, more intelligent than I am. That's your gift. Don't sit there and act like you don't believe that. You're lying. You know there's smarter people in this church than me, more intelligent. I'm not the most compassionate person in this church. There are other people in this church more compassionate than I am. I'm not the most loving or gentle person in this church. There's other people. You see, everybody's got gifts. My gift's preaching. I'm not real good at it, but I try real hard. I'm not going to sit down. I'm going to occupy. Amen. What are you going to do while they're burning up washing? I'm occupying my space. And I'm going to be faithful in my time and my talents and my treasure. And look, what are you going to do while they're blowing up this and they're blowing up this? I'm going to get in my closet and pray.
Yes.
I'm going to seek God. I'm going to pray for the power and the presence of God to turn our nation around. But we've got to be faithful and occupy till He comes. We shouldn't get distracted. That's all this is, a distraction. All this political stuff, all this rioting, all this coronavirus. All this stuff is a distraction.
Right.
Let's go out of here this week and not be distracted and do what God's told us to do and go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I dare you do it. You know why? Because one day, Brother Thomas, he's going to come back and he say, "I want to see what you did with my investment."
Yes. Yes.
And I want to hear, "Enter thou into the joys of the Lord, my good and faithful servant."
Yes.
Let's stand. If you're not saved tonight and you're watching on Facebook, the time, talent, and treasure you got are going to waste because, see, it doesn't belong to Him. It belongs to you. And you've never surrendered it to Him. And you'll never be happy with what you've got. You'll never be happy. I'll go ahead and tell you, you'll never be happy without Him in it. And that's why you're so miserable. You need to turn it over to Him tonight and say, "Lord, I ain't much, but here I am.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, I ain't much, but You died for me.
Amen.
Lord, I ain't much, but if You'll save me, I'll tell it. I'll try to live it. I'll occupy with the gifts and talents You give to me, and I'll use them for Your glory. You call on Him, He'll save you. Somebody said, I hope I'm saved. I said, did you ask him? He said, yeah, I asked him. I said, did you mean it? He said, yeah, I meant it. I said, well, then God meant it. He doesn't play. What are you doing with your talents and treasure? What are you doing with your time? Father, bless the reading of your word. Help us, Lord. Help our nation. But most of all, help these people that claim to be believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to be bold.
Yes, Lord.
Help us to have holy boldness. Fill us with your spirit. Use us for your glory. Send revival, Lord. We need revival in our land. God, don't let the devil win this. We're the last Christian nation on earth, and about two-thirds of that's not even Christian anymore. Lord, revive, reclaim our land. From the White House to my house, the church house. If any's lost, Lord, watching us tonight, we pray you'd move on their heart and save them before it's eternally too late. Their time's running out. And then for that Christian that sat down on God, maybe because of fear or failure, I don't know what it is, but I pray you'd wake them up, Lord. Don't let them eat or sleep or work or play until they get it right with you. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to try to sing 445. Is that right? 445. Have thine own way, Lord. That's the only way he's going to do it. He won't have it any other way. He's Lord. Have thine own way.